As well, we are seeing the markets accelerate losses as tensions over Ukraine and Russia continue to escalate. We are expecting comments from President Biden in the 2 p.m. hour, and we'll bring those to you as soon as they happen. But we want to stay on the markets and bring in our next guest for reaction. Scott Labner is from Horizon Investments, the chief investment officer there. Scott, thanks so much for being here today. Just want to get your sense of reaction in the markets today to the escalation in tensions over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a round trip, a couple of round trips actually in the last 24 hours. I woke up in the middle of the night last night, took a look at my phone, and saw futures down like 90 in the S&Ps. We're down 2% or so. And then I woke up for real this morning, and we were almost back to flat, and we were actually up for a little bit of time this morning. After some of the economic data, so that sort of reaction, along with what the ruble's doing, is not reacting tons and tons until the last few hours, and what rates are doing, importantly, in the United States, are telling me that the people are they're already sort of positioned for something like this. But certainly some of the headlines over the last couple of hours have not been helpful. That's drug, that's certainly hurt risk sentiment, hurting crypto, is hurting, it's hurting stocks. But we do think there's some positioning that is probably going to be a little bit of a buffer to the downside. But that's being juxtaposed against a really poor liquidity environment in markets right now, that are meaning that any of these moves that we're getting right now are just going to be exacerbated, either to the upside or to the downside. And that's just the nature of the beast right now. But we're actually okay with how the markets are taking this right now. The thing that we're really watching is credit spreads, because the transference of like any of this Ukraine and Russia action into actually impacting U.S. financial markets is not going to be through earnings. It's going to be through something like an energy scare or energy price hikes that will probably end up being fairly temporary and therefore sort of producing possibly a growth scare. And so credit spreads would probably be the thing that you would want to watch to pick up on that. We're not seeing very much movement out of credit spreads right now.
Now, then what do you see happening with the energy sector? Because we saw Brent pushing 100 earlier today. It's now retreated. It's down to about 96. WTI also escalating. Where do you see prices going if there is an even further escalation? And how long do they remain elevated?
They could certainly go up from here, and because just looking at options markets, there's a lot of options bets that are out there in the oil market right now that are predicting Brent prices between $100-$125. Just for technical reasons alone, we could see oil jump to something like that. That would probably be temporary though, because at the end of the day, if we end up getting some sort of hot war, if we end up getting something that's more drastic than we're predicting right now, that's downside for growth. Very high energy prices are pretty inconsistent with downside growth scares. In addition to that, we have started seeing some rig counts in the United States go up. So at some point, the shale guys turn the machines back on and they start pumping oil and becoming that very important marginal supplier to the world. They really haven't started to do that yet. They're just maybe getting ready to. But having sustained oil prices north of $100, we really don't see in the cards.
Scott, I want to ask you, usually markets don't normally react too much to geopolitical tensions, but obviously this is a huge deal. So I'm wondering what mistakes do investors need to avoid making today? What can they make? Kathy Wood from ARK Investment says the biggest mistake one can make is piling into index funds at the moment, because that's where all the risk is. What's your opinion, and where should your allocation go at this point?
We do think that you should be a little bit more defensive, just because, look, this year we think it's going to be a little bit of a choppy year. It's not going to be an easy year like last year, where you had basically the wind at your back from a monetary standpoint, you had the wind at your back from a fiscal standpoint, you had the wind at the back from a consumer spending standpoint. All of those things that were tailwinds last year are going to be a little bit more of a headwind this year. And so we do think we're in for more of a range-bound type of market, probably like violently going nowhere sort of market for 2022, with a little bit of an upside bias towards the end of the year. But this is one where you're probably just going to want to sit tight. You're probably going to want to try to avoid the head-to-head data, the day-to-day headlines, because extrapolating out from what we're seeing on the intraday moves is going to be really, really challenging in a low liquidity environment where we're really in sort of a vacuum in terms of the amount of information we're going to get out of anything that's going to be meaningful towards even like a 1 month to 3 month sort of investment horizon.
Easier said than done, avoid the headlines. But I'm wondering, how does all of this impact Fed policy? And do you think now that a 50 basis point hike next month is off the table?
Yeah, we've never really thought that the 50 basis point hike was much of a probability. You've had some, you know, some outside members of the Fed suggesting this you know, this was a chance, but the core members of the Fed are pretty staunch in the fact that, listen, we don't need to be making large shifts. You know, the Fed has gone through, Frank, the last 5 months, they've been lurching, and all global central banks have been lurching from policy to policy. That's not how central banks want to operate. So, you know, I think we need to harken back to maybe some of the measured pace language that we had in Greenspan in the early to mid 2000s, when really they were hiking 25 basis points every single meeting. The market understood that. They knew that. It was almost a kind of a calming influence, you know, as calm as a kind of a rate hike cycle can be. I think the Fed's really wanted to get back towards that measured pace type of language, that measured pace type of type of communication, and stop lurching from hawkish to dovishness, because that kind of reaction function is not helpful for either the real economy nor for financial markets.
Okay, we will have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Scott Ladner, Horizon Investment Chief Investment Officer. Thanks for your perspective.